What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Davidson Hang podcast, where I get to interview amazing people and help share their wisdom with the world. Let me know your takeaways and feel free to connect with the guests. I'm aiming to build a community around coaching, self-development, leadership, where people are not afraid to be their most authentic versions of themselves. You can find us on video by searching the Davidson Hang podcast on YouTube. Welcome and enjoy the ride. Yo, what's up, everybody? We have your boy Chris Blatnick here. Woo, woo,
woo, woo, woo. Yes, sir. In the house.
Yeah, yeah. So Chris and I met through Garrett's amazing training program. Garrett had all of us fly into New York City, where he was able to create an amazing onboarding experience. And I was privileged enough to sit next to Chris and learn and just be surrounded by his positivity. And I'm excited to introduce to you Chris, who is currently a nonprofit relationship manager in LinkedIn Learning Solutions.
Awesome. Thank you, Davidson. And let's not bury the lead here. Most important point from that training with Garrett is that Davidson won an award at the end of the week of the most reflecting individual of LinkedIn's values and culture. So Davidson, don't sell yourself short. He threw down the gauntlet right then, and he's been helping me bring it ever since, because I've been trying to keep up with him ever since that training.
Oh, God. Thank you. Appreciate you. You know, so just wanted to highlight, you know, be able to reflect on, since we had training about a year and a month ago, right?
And was it? Yeah, that's right. About a year and a month ago.
Yeah. So since then, your boy Chris has made President's Club, for people who
don't know
what it is. It's the top, is it 10% of the company?
Top 10%. That's right.
10% of LinkedIn. Mind you, these are also all very high achieving, ambitious people. So very impressive. He was able to finish 121% of his quota. Not bad. Not bad at all. And he was the second performing rep in North America out of all the RMs in his segment. And he was able to hit four consecutive quarters of hitting his attainment.
Yes, sir. Going on five. Five is almost in the bag within a matter of days.
That's amazing. Yeah, yeah. That's I love the consistency. But yeah, I just wanted to share with everyone like your positivity. And, you know, I think we all, most people's goals who are in client-facing roles at LinkedIn is to make President's Club, right? So got to from the best. And, you know, it starts with conversations like these.
I mean, you know what they say, Davidson. I mean, consistency is good. High numbers are good, but it don't mean a thing if you don't get that ring, brother. It don't mean a thing if you don't get that ring. So that's the goal. In all seriousness, I say it in jest, but, you know, President's Club was always a goal for me. It was kind of a, you know, aim for the stars, or sorry, shoot for the moon, end up in the stars type of goal. And so that was always my goal from day one. And I figured if I just tried everything in my power to get there, I would be satisfied, right? Even if I didn't reach my goal, if I did everything in my power to do it, I'm happy with that. And sure enough, that's what I did. And it was enough to get me there in a very competitive, a very prestigious environment with a lot of talented people. So I'm very lucky, very fortunate to receive that honor and everything I've accomplished so far.
And I know you also, your manager also made it as well, right? I saw that.
Yes. That's part of the reason. Jessica Torin is a fantastic manager. She did LinkedIn Learning sales for about 6 or 7 years before becoming a manager. So, and that's one of the reasons why I'm here today, right? You know, there's never a question she's not able to answer, never a scenario she's not able to troubleshoot, never something I can't go to her with. And that helped me so much. She's a tremendous manager, a tremendous person, and I owe so much of my accolades and what I've been able to accomplish to her. So
that's awesome.
The record state.
Yeah, I know. I know Julia on your team also made it, right?
Yes, that's right. That's right. So yeah, there's three club goers on our team of, I believe, seven people. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. We're like the Golden State Warriors of learning here, just racking them up.
Yeah, our team also had 3-2. Is Carter Pooks, so our manager, and then Jordan Katz and Claire Goldhawk were the three from our team that made it.
See, there you go, bringing that fire.
I love it. So I wanted to kick off the conversation with reading some of your recommendations. Let's see if you blush or not.
Okay, hit me with it.
So I see here that Romana said, I had the honor to supervise Chris during his time as a project coordinator in the Dye home office. Throughout our time working together, he displayed an excellent work ethic and a strong eagerness for project management experience and knowledge. We worked closely together on an agricultural Millennium Challenge Corporation funded project in Ghana, and Chris was always willing to go the extra mile to ensure every assignment was completed in an efficient and timely manner. He showed tremendous ability to work on multiple tasks simultaneously and delivered on extremely time-sensitive deadlines. He was always willing to help the team out in any way necessary throughout his time as a project coordinator, and this made him a great asset to the economic growth sector. I would greatly enjoy working with him again and would recommend him for any future opportunities.
Wow, Davidson. I think you must have pulled my oldest like recommendation on LinkedIn. Is that what you did basically?
No. There's some other, there's before that.
Wow. So you're bringing up stuff from my past life here, man. As people that know me know, I spent about 10 years of doing nonprofit and for-profit work in the international development space prior to joining LinkedIn and working on the nonprofit team here. So I spent 10 years based out of DC where I grew up doing government contracting. I got to work on awesome projects all over the world in Ghana, in countries like Afghanistan, Pakistan, a bunch of countries in Asia and Africa, Latin America and Eastern Europe. So that was kind of always my dream. Just like San Francisco or the Bay Area is a tech town, an industry town in that way, DC obviously is a government, think tank, international development type hub. So that's what I did for, again, 10 years, accomplished a lot. And Romina was actually my first boss at my job at DAI or DAI, either way works. But
DAI, okay.
Yeah, she was probably the first manager I had in like a full-time position.
Ah, very cool. Yeah, man. I mean, when I first met you, I was just like, man, this guy has a lot of energy. You're always like just very positive guy. So I could see how, you know, not a surprise to me that, you know, you hit your goals and you made President's Club.
It's the power of positivity, Davidson. It can do anything.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm curious about that. Like, were you always positive? Like, you know, because I do think many of us, I can only speak for myself, but I think we tend to, our past like kind of determines like who we want to be growing up. Sometimes there's influences that kind of make us who we are. I don't want to put anything in this space, but would you like to comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've always been a pretty positive person. I definitely look on the bright side and, you know, people have always commented that about me. So I guess it's true, right? Like, you know, I realize at this point in my life, if everyone keeps telling me this, it's probably the case.
Yeah.
So I think so much of life and so much of work and everything is about mindset, right? Mindset is so important. If you think negative or you tend to skew negative, and there's nothing wrong with that. There are certain times we all need to do that. But if that's where you consistently go, you're going to be in a negative space, negative things will happen, right? If you try to skew positive, try to find the silver lining and everything, because there usually is one, right? Life isn't black or white, usually shades are gray. So usually you have the option of looking on the positive or the negative. So why not look on the positive if that option is available? Because it's going to give you energy. It's going to make you enthusiastic. It's going to help you propel yourself to get whatever you need to do done. So I always try to look in the positive. I can't say I usually skew negative. Everyone has a bad day. Of course I do too. But power of positivity, man, it'll help you achieve all your goals.
Was there one book in particular that, that you would recommend that has also helped you cultivate that mindset?
You know, that's a good question. I can't, there's not one book, right? And I think I think what we get trapped into a lot of the time is that people look for a silver bullet solution. Like, okay, if I read this one book, then I'll be set. If I talk to this one career coach, that's all I need to do. And that's something I did at one point. So there's a lot of great books out there. I think one, actually the first one that came to mind was The Magic of Thinking Big. This is a really good book. It just talks about
yesterday.
You did? What do you think?
What I didn't. So I was driving. So I was listening to the Tim Ferriss podcast.
Yes.
And the guy recommended that book. And I was like, huh. And then I downloaded it yesterday. Well, yesterday I had family. So my dad is coming. He flew in from California. So I didn't get to the book yet. But I'll let you know. But sorry, continue.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Yeah, definitely a great book. I think I might have read it 2 or 3 times. Like, it's something to go back to. I like to try to take notes when I read books. And I think Tim Ferriss has a great podcast. He has a couple great books out there. So that book constantly comes up in his realm. But yeah, it just gives you... It'll give you tips on like ways to think about yourself and your development, but it'll also give you like real world practical tips. It's a good combination of both. And that, like, you know, oftentimes we are products of our own thinking, right? So if you're going to think about something, you might as well think big, because you have the option to do one or the other.
I love it. Yeah, it was, I think David Schwartz is his name.
Okay. Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's the author.
So the guy who recommended that book to Tim Ferriss, and then Tim was like, this is actually one on my, they got Mr. Money Mustache. Have you heard of
him? Oh, okay. Yeah. He's the, what is it called? Like, retire early. He's one of those people that like retires and lives on like $30 a week or something.
Yeah. So his philosophy is like, all your actions are like to create happiness. So all his money is spent on happiness. So what he does, like, he'll go to like the farmer's market and he'll like do like every one of his actions are intentionally geared towards happiness. So
I see.
It's not that he's being frugal necessarily, but like, let's say like, okay, would I rather spend $50,000 on this really nice car, or would I spend that 50 and allocate that towards like things that will make me happier, you know, like riding a bike, you know, like, so yeah, it's interesting. But he said that book was the book that got him to create his whole, you know, how he was able to retire at the age of 30.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's a great book. Anyone that hasn't read it, it's also a very easy read. So anyone that hasn't read it, highly recommended.
Awesome. Yeah. And then like what you said about, you know, I think sometimes people think it's like black and white, but it sounds like you have so many awesome mentors. You have so many people that has helped you kind of mold and shaped you to who you are. So it's hard to say like, oh, it was just this one thing. It sounded like it was a combination of everybody that has helped you become the awesome person that you are.
Thank you, Davidson. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of trial and error, like, you know, I look back, for example, there was a period, I think, when I was in high school. Yeah, I guess it was in high school, where I felt like I didn't push myself as much as I wanted to. And I always regretted that. So like, from that point on, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to give everything my all. If I'm invested in something, if it's a job or school or a class or a program, you might as well give it all you have, because just like in life, you get in what you put out of it. So the more effort you put in, the more you tend to get out of it, even with the quota, right? Even if I don't hit my quota this quarter, next quarter, whatever, as long as I do everything in my power to put myself in a position to meet quota, that's all I can do. The rest is out of my hands. It's up to, you know, whoever. We can't control COVID. We can't control elections. We can vote. We can all do our part in these things to help them. Can't control the high level big things. So you just do everything in your own power to put yourself in a position to succeed as much as possible. That's all you can do. And if that's enough to have you satisfied at the end of the day, then I think you're going to live a very happy life.
Do you think, because you did mention that you didn't do as well as, let's say you did do extremely well, or you did do well in high school. Do you think that would have, because I think a lot of times what we perceive we didn't have, we tend to like overcompensate, but obviously it's helped you win President's Club. It works. But I always think back to, I'm like, huh, like if that didn't happen, where, cause I also did not do well in high school. Like I was never a good student. Like, cause I was always like, I was diagnosed with ADHD. So I was more of like an interactive learner rather than a rote memorization guy. So I did horrible. Like, teachers would make fun of me. Like, it was bad. Oh, but man, because of that, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to prove to the world that this dude with ADHD can still crush life.
100%, man. You know, I think, and you're exactly, you're right. I wouldn't change anything because, you know, it was through that period that I learned that lesson young, right? That, like, you know, if you don't try, you're not going to do well. For me, it was a lack of effort on my part, right? I didn't give it all I could. I didn't try as hard as I should. And then when I got the results, I wasn't happy with them. And it was easily able to equate it to my level of effort or my enthusiasm, right? And so I always said, yeah, I learned my lesson. Like, everything from now on, I'm going to give it all I got because I don't want to ever feel like that again where I regret, you know, I didn't have the power to go back and do it again. I can only affect what's in front of me.
I love that. Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because I do think there's so many things going on in the world, and there's always so many things that are out of our control.
Yep.
But some people are paralyzed by that, where it demotivates them to even make an effort because they're like, well, whatever I can do won't even make a difference, so why would I even bother, right?
Right.
So the resignation that can come with that, but it seems like with you, it's like, well, I know that at the end of the day, like, I can't control other people's reactions, but I can just be my best self. And consistently over time, if I keep doing that, I'll be happy with myself.
Boy, man. And some days, you know, especially this last year, it's hard. I myself feel like worn down, or like, you know, some days I don't feel up to it, but I'm always like, all right, just try to do one thing, right? Do one or two things, see how you feel. And so often I think this concept is out there in the world. If you do one thing, you know, you build momentum to do the next thing, and then you start to feel better. And it's through an action of just trying things or doing things, and you can kind of build yourself back up slightly. And maybe you won't feel great that day, or maybe you won't feel great that week or month. But again, typically once we get into motion and get into action, those endorphins get going, you know, you build that momentum, it'll just propel you farther than you would ever think.
And it sounds like, you know, I noticed you're looking pretty swole nowadays.
Thank you.
So, you know, knowing that if I look good, I feel good. If I work on my physical, I'll think better. Like, is that how you think as well?
Definitely. And I would like to actually do more physical stuff throughout the day. That's something I need to work on. Like, I need to get maybe do like a 30-minute walk or run something during the day. I need to get better about that. I'm an afternoon workout guy because I would like to bring some of that energy into the day that I get from that workout post work or in the afternoon.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the perfect way to like end the day, right? It kind of disassociates me from the workday, puts me in, you know, it's that transition between work mode and relaxation mode. It's the perfect gateway. Like when our commutes used to do that before, right? Like we used to have that half an hour or half an hour going to and from work. So now I just use that workout in the afternoon as a gateway to back to my home life.
And walk me through your morning routines. Like it sounds like pretty consistent habits. Like, are you an early riser? Do you get stuff done? Do you do the hard stuff first so that you can relax a little bit more throughout the day?
Good question. So I am not an early riser. I'm more of a afternoon/evening person. I feel like I finally get most of my energy like at 4 or 5 in the afternoon. So, but I do have a ritual. I will wake up. I like to check like a couple things. Like I try not to check my personal email more than twice a day. I'll do it once in the morning, once in the evening. So I'll wake up, I'll check my LinkedIn email to see if there's any fires. I'll check my personal email, put it away. I will meditate every day for 10 minutes. I just use Headspace. And right after that, I'll use a gratitude journal just to jot down what I'm thankful for. And I feel like that combination of meditation and gratitude journaling will put me in the right space to kind of begin the workday.
What are you grateful for today?
What was I grateful for today? I was grateful for being able to do your podcast, for working with Davidson. I was thankful to start another week at a job I truly love. I'm getting ready to go to Hawaii, hopefully on Wednesday. So grateful for that. So yeah, those are the three things today. My beautiful wife, Allie, if she's listening, she was one of those as well.
Aww.
But all great things.
That's awesome. And So it sounds like you're like when you disconnect from work, like you don't check your email at night. Like it sounds like you're pretty good about that too.
I am. I usually fall victim to like maybe once or twice just to see, just because if it's on my phone, I put my work apps three screens over on the iPhone to try to get away from it. Even then I find myself scrolling over to look at Teams or Outlook. It's so hard to like get away from that checking. But yes, when I'm done for work for the day, because I usually finish like 5:30 or 6:00. And so it's on East Coast, it's like 8:30 or 9:00. So I'm like, okay, I'm done for the night. I will reconvene tomorrow. But sometimes I do fall victim to checking it, but I will never act on it. I'll just kind of do a triage to see what's coming up for the next day, but I won't engage. You can look, but don't engage. That's the key.
No, that's good to set those boundaries. I think to your point, because there's less of a separation, you know, we used to have that commute home and that's kind of like where you unwind and recharge. But, you know, now that most of us are still work from home, you know, if we don't have that workout routine, we need something to kind of get into that rhythm of like, okay, this is my time to unplug.
100%, man. 100%. What do you do to disconnect at the end of the day?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'd say a lot of crack and cocaine.
I don't believe that for a second, Davidson.
That's good. That means you think of me very highly. I appreciate that.
Definitely. Definitely.
I think like, yeah, for me, I do take like a walk around the park. Sometimes okay. Like take a walk around the block just to kind of, I guess similarly when I was working in the Empire State Building, I would walk home. So, I would do that. I would journal as well. Like sometimes I'll reflect on the day. Like I have a journal. It's called the High Performance Planner by Brandon Burchard.
Hell yeah.
And it's the questions that I really like about it is like, you know, like basically it's what did you do well? What could you have done better? You know, what did you appreciate about the day? And then big picture overview, like what are one of the projects that you've made progress in? So you okay. kind of reflect on your day. And then at the end of the week, there's like a deeper one where you go a little bit deeper into the reflection. And then there's a monthly one as well. So yeah.
Very cool. So let me ask you this, because this is something I've always wondered about. How do you have the energy to do your normal job so well? And because you're at what, 400% of your current quarter. So you're crushing your quarter. How do you also find the time and get the energy to do the podcast and to do all the other side hustles you might have going on? How do you spur yourself to do all this stuff?
Yeah. I think for me, like I love doing this stuff because like to be able to share because like not everyone in the world knows you, right? Like let's say maybe half of the LinkedIn people I hang out with know you and then the other half don't. It's so cool to be able to like get some of that like good juju and be able to share it with the world. Cause for me, you know, when I grew up, I didn't really have the best like mentors and stuff around because like my father wasn't around. So I was always seeking like, so I would listen to a lot of podcasts like Tim Ferriss and stuff. So I'm like, huh, that'd be so cool if I could do what Tim Ferriss did for me and I could share that with everyone else who I am around. So when SDRs like listen to, like I was talking about you to one of my friends, one of the SDRs, and I was like, you don't know Chris? Oh my God. Like, you're going to have to listen to this podcast, you know? And she's like, wow, that's incredible. He made President's Club his first year, like as of with the full year, like quota. Like, that's amazing. I'm like, yeah, exactly. Like,
you're too kind, David.
What, you know, trying to share his wealth of knowledge.
First sales job also, first year for LinkedIn, first corporate sales job also.
I was telling her that too. And she's like, oh my God, like that's incredible. But
thank you, my friend.
But I do think because of that though, you don't have like the bad training that salespeople, you know what I mean? Cause in sales, it's funny, like, you know, not saying that my manager does this, but I think sales in general as an occupation, they're like, you got to get that band. You got to do all this. You're just like, well, I think, can I just be like a normal human being? Like, isn't that like more effective? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Like it was funny to come in from the outside world, into sales for a company like LinkedIn. And my wife also works in tech sales. So like I had some background from her. So I wasn't completely like ignorant of the environment, but I was surprised like there's a lot of people getting after it. But there were also kind of a lot of people, like, at least to my perception, like, not really, not that you have to grind or you go as hard as you can, but, you know, people would leave early on Friday, which I'm all about if you put your hours in, whatever, but like people kind of shopping or people doing other things. I was like, man, these people aren't getting after it as much as I thought they would. And so, and there's some very highly successful people that, you know, different strokes for different folks, but there's definitely a culture that I wasn't used to coming in.
Yeah, that's a good point. New York City, obviously, is a different culture.
Yeah, I think California, I'm from the East Coast originally, so California is just different out here. I love it because by 4 o'clock on a Friday, everyone's gone, including myself. People will put in extra hours during the week to do that. But yeah, I think just the East Coast to West Coast time, it's very different, because I feel like in the East Coast, I was grinding, you know, 9 to 7 every single day, doing whatever it took. That's just the, you know, the East Coast way, right? But out here in California, it's much more laid back. You do what you do, you get your work done, go home, leave at a reasonable hour, disconnect on the weekends, go for a hike, do some yoga, do the whole thing. So I think it's just the East Coast, West Coast thing.
Yeah, I think our team was very unique. Like, I think, because, you know, my manager won like manager of the year in LLS. Like, she's, wow, she crushes. But dude, it was insane. Like, we would get in like at 8 a.m. I would get into the office and people would be like grinding, or like they were in them things. And then like at 6 p.m., you know, when the rest of the office was pretty much gone, like I'm still looking around and people are still headphones in, like still like sending out emails and stuff. I'm like, wow, you know? But
yeah, you know. I mean, I went to Toronto for a couple weeks over the summer, and like I got back on that East Coast time schedule. I'm like starting the day at 9, not finishing until 7:30, and I'm just like, man, this is why I went to California, because I've forgotten what it was like. It's just I think just because the East Coast, New York City, is the epicenter of the world, right? So the whole world runs on that clock. Right. When you're three hours removed, you can get away with a little bit more.
I see what you're saying. Yes. Yeah. Cause like, let's say, you know, you do work for a global company, right? Like there's like the early people for like, so if you work with the UK and stuff, you know, that's super early, you can get in. Yeah. Right. Good point. And then if you want to collaborate with the California folks, like you would have to stay until 8 sometimes, right? I mean, you don't have to,
but
if you had clients that were in that time zone, then you would. So yeah, that's a good point. Huh?
Yeah, even in my client book right now, the majority of them are based East Coast, U.S. There's some West Coast scattered, Midwest, Canada, everywhere, but the majority of them are based on the East Coast.
Huh. Yeah.
So just the nature of the biz, my man.
Yeah, well, all right, let's talk about you more. So let's dig into, what's something that, I mean, I think you just answered it here, but maybe elaborate it. What's something that most people would think is crazy, or what's one unconventional thing that you think is true that most people would be like, that's bogus?
A personal or work? Or both?
I mean, it could be odd. We could do one for each.
Oh my God, my wife's gonna kill me. So personally, I like professional wrestling. I think most people think it's bad. I actually think it's the best sport, because like if you're watching the basketball game, football game, whatever, if you're watching the Patriots against the Giants, the teams are trying to kill each other, right? You want to annihilate the other team. What makes professional wrestling the best sport is that you're trying to make the match look as good as possible to the fans while keeping the other guy safe. You're trying to not hurt him, but you want to make it look like the audience that you are hurting him. So it's more nuanced. There's several things going on. So I love professional wrestling. So that's a contrarian opinion, that most people think it's bad or stupid, which I can see, but I like it. Work wise, I think, you know, something I heard a lot, and I think I mentioned this to you before, Davidson, is that I'm a relationship builder, right? I spent 10 years building relationships with the US government and foreign governments and projects around the world. So I like building relationships. I think with my customers here at LinkedIn, I think a lot of people feel like they don't have the time maybe to answer every client question or to triage every single client need, and totally understand. However, from my standpoint, I was like, okay, no matter what the client comes to me and asks, I'm gonna look at it as an opportunity to build a relationship, you know? Yeah. If they're having login issues, instead of just telling them to go to IT, I'll go to IT for them. I'll dig a little deeper on their behalf, just so like, you know, here's something of value I can do for you. Like, I don't like asking people for something until I've done something for them. So I don't want to ask a client to spend money unless I've done something for them first, even if it's as small as fixing an IT bug or fixing a login issue. I want to use any excuse to build a relationship with them and get to know them, ingrain myself with them, because we're building a partnership, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's great. You're going above and beyond what's expected, and people appreciate that. I think in the world of technology, in the world of automation and AI and stuff, people really crave that, like, dude, I just want to talk to a human being. You know,
100%.
Like all these, 100%. All the scalability and all of the, you know, I get it. Like it makes things more efficient, but you know, like I know sometimes I go crazy when you try to call in and then you get like an automatic message and then like you just can't even talk to a human being, and then you get
100%.
Yeah.
100%. You put yourself in their shoes. You know, if you were this client that's spending X amount of dollars on LinkedIn Learning, you know, wouldn't you want the best service possible? So I try to give them the same level of service that I would want to give myself.
That makes sense. Yeah, I know I was working with Michaela on the Wellborn from the RM team.
Wonderful. She's awesome.
She's awesome. Yeah. She goes above and beyond. Like I've handed some accounts over to her, and I feel like she goes above and beyond. Like I think Liz Polino is also one who...
Oh, Liz is fantastic. I work with her in a couple accounts. Yeah, Liz and Michaela are two of the best out there, hands down. I've learned a lot from both of them.
Yeah. But to your point, I think they do what you said, where like Liz goes like above and beyond. Like every time I talk to the client, and she's always like, yeah, Liz is amazing. And you know, it's awesome.
The clients love Liz. Liz is the best. She's the most like positive, also a very positive person, the most friendly, the most engaging. Any client I have with Liz, I'm like, yes, like Liz is golden. So
yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah. And then Michaela, you know, I just started working with her recently, but she had a client that came back to LinkedIn and she's like, can we have Michaela again? And that's like, I don't
see.
Yeah. But that's always a good sign, right? Like you're like,
Yep. There you go. Michaela started a couple months before me. So I learned a lot from her as I came up to speed. And she, yeah. Also, if you have her as a client, you're in great hands by far.
Yeah. Well, So tell me a little bit about, because you do what I think is interesting is you actually work like a normal 40-hour week. I think many people think that you have to work like a 50-hour week in order to make President's Club. But when I spoke to you, I was like, oh, it seems like you're pretty good about setting like proper boundaries.
I am. So I will say I have worked some more above 40-hour weeks recently. However, it is true. Everything I did for Club was done with 40 hours a week. The only reason I'm doing more now is because we have some temp coverage on our team. And some people are out for paternity leave. So we're all kind of trying to pick up the slack a little bit. But yeah, no, everything I did for President's Club, you can do any job you can do within 40 hours a week, right? I mean, if you really stay organized, if you prioritize your time correctly, What two tricks did I do? I do zero inbox. Like I use my inbox as my organizational tool, right? Something comes in, I either file it, respond to it, and kind of get it out of the way. If it's still in my inbox, it's something I need to do. And it takes some time to set up. You have to create folders and filing systems. But once you set up the system, it works like magic. And you can really just look at your inbox. Okay, what do I need to do today? Here are the six emails I need to do something with. Let me go ahead and do that. Boom, done. Move it out. Move on to the next thing.
You have to show me that, like your filing system sometimes, because I think I have that, but I think mine could be better.
Anytime you want to see it, Davidson, I'll give you a peek behind the curtain.
Yeah, as long as you don't charge me more than $1,000.
No, but I mean, that helps a lot. I try to schedule. I always make sure, actually a tip that Garrett taught us, I don't know if you remember this, Garrett always said, do your follow-ups the same day.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah.
So I've always, very rarely will I save a follow-up for the next day. I get them all out. I'll bang them out maybe the last hour and a half of the day. And again, another benefit of being on West Coast time, typically 4 to 5:30 isn't busy with other things. So I can get those follow-ups done the same day. Yeah. And I think the other thing, and Garrett also said this, and Mike Derzin and a couple of other leaders at LinkedIn, when I joined, there's a lot of shiny things, a lot of great things to do at LinkedIn, a lot of great benefits, a lot of great clubs, a lot of great institutions you can be a part of. But a couple of people told me, you know, hey, Chris, you know, and I think Garrett said this, you know, learn the job first, right? All those great clubs, all those great organizations, we know you want to be a part of them, and that's part of the reason that you're here. But, you know, they'll still be here 6 months down the line. Learn the job. Do what you need to do to get up to speed. You know, for me, I wanted to try to hit my quota. It's something I'd never done before. I'd never been on a quota. So I wanted to give all my energy to that aspect of the job at first. And so that's what I did, and it paid off. And now over the last 4 to 5 months, I'm getting more involved in various organizations, things on the nonprofit team. I'm actually doing a webinar tomorrow for nonprofits around diversity and inclusion. So now I'm starting to do all those things I was holding off on to start.
Yeah, I wish I took that advice, man. Like, I think the opposite, where I was like, all right, let me join every club possible. Join Toastmasters, join Social Impact, volunteer for Pencil, Streetwise Partners, iMentor. Yeah, I did the opposite. Wellness Champions. Cool.
But it worked out for you, Davidson. You're still crushing it. You're at 400%. Like, it just, we took different paths, but we got to the same place.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because now I'm like really starting to focus on my job now. So it's, you know, better late than never. Right?
I'm sure you're fine. I'm sure. But that's the great thing. I mean, and that is part of the reason we're here. And that's what makes LinkedIn such a great company, is that we have all these great clubs and these great initiatives and these great options. That's part of the reason why we're here. So it is very hard to hold back. And sometimes I would be just like, man, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing here. But like, it did pay off, made a club, proved myself in that way. Now I'm getting involved in some other stuff.
Yeah. Now, I respect that. When I was telling Ivana about you, and I told her what you just told me, and she's like, damn, that's discipline. Like, I don't know if I would be able to do that, but, you know, clearly it worked out. So I respect for that.
I've been told I'm a very disciplined person, so that's probably part of the reason why.
Yeah. So it sounds like you have like non-negotiables. So if you say like, all right, I'm going to definitely get at least a workout in every day, like you'll get that in. No matter.
Yep. That's another thing I have to do. I'm a workout, not a workout freak, but if I don't work out one day, I'll feel it, right? I don't feel like myself. I don't feel normal. And yeah. So it's been hard with the gym closed, man. I'm not clanging and banging like I used to, but I'm still finding a way to get it in, you know?
And then is also meditation also non-negotiable? Like,
yeah, it is. I also really feel it when I skip a day. So I really try not. If I have a bunch of meetings backed up in the morning, maybe I'll push it to the afternoon. But my brain actually feels fried if I do not do those 10 minutes of meditation. I really feel it.
Huh. And you always do it in the mornings.
I try to do it before I take the big look at my work email. I'll do the brief look before I really start digging in. I'll have to do the meditation. It's usually I'll do the meditation before I get dressed, and then I'll get dressed, and then I'll go in and do the work.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Is there anything, is a healthy diet also part of your routine as well?
I think so. So I'm plant-based, quote unquote, not vegan all the time, but as much as I can. I think, again, the big thing I always want to avoid with diet is being tired after lunch. So if I have a big lunch, or if I have like a meat sandwich or something, which I have occasionally, I feel it. I'm tired. I'm like lethargic. I don't have the natural energy. So diet is very important. I think hydration is key. I think what you eat and how much of it during the day will really affect your mood and energy levels. And I also do intermittent fasting, so I don't eat before 12. 12 to 8 is my window of eating. So yeah, clearly I'm vegan. I do intermittent fasting. I do all these things. I meditate. But they help prime me, right? They help me get where I need to be. They help me feel better. So anything I can do to help myself feel better makes me more productive, makes me more energetic, makes me more positive. So they all pay off in one way or another.
Yeah, I feel like you've implemented like essentially every Tim episode. So folks, instead of listening to Tim Ferriss's 1000 episode, just literally listen to this episode and implement it. save yourself literally 2,000 hours.
I'll give you the whole summary. I haven't tried the mushrooms or the psychedelic stuff yet that Tim is really into. That's his huge thing. I have not tried any of that. So I can't speak on that, but most of the stuff he recommends is pretty gangbusters as far as productivity.
Yeah. And the part that you just mentioned, I would recommend that too.
Okay. Awesome. Good to hear. Yeah. It's supposed to be Johns Hopkins has a big study on its effective way to not hack therapy, but get a lot of therapeutic benefits through a shorter term engagement.
Yeah, honestly, out of every hack or everything I've ever tried, that has probably been one of the most game-changing things for me in helping me just be able to think more creatively. Because I used to think I'm not a creative, like that was my story. And then when that happened, I think my mind just was able to, I was more open to trying new things and just more, I think, connected to people. So I think it's helped me be more creative and just more spiritually connected to the world. Yeah.
Amazing. I'm so happy to hear that, Dave. Yeah. People that do it say amazing things.
Yeah. But yeah, so are there any podcasts that you listen to?
Yeah. So I listen to Tim Ferriss if I like the guest. I used to be more engaged. Still a great podcast. Obviously he puts out a lot of content. So it's just hard to keep up sometimes. I listen to a couple of different pro wrestling podcasts a week, hence my guilty pleasure. I listen to Bill Simmons' sports podcast. He also gets really good, like, celebrity guests. I don't do Mark Maron or Joe Rogan. I know they're both very popular. Oh, I listen to LinkedIn's podcast, obviously. Hello Mondays, which is awesome. It's like a short little quick hitter. Highly recommended. But I think that might be it. I'm always looking for new podcasts. I like trying new things. I feel like I have so many that I have trouble getting through them as is. So I need to, like, I probably should delete a couple of the wrestling ones, although I really enjoy it, but and get some more better content there. But I probably won't do that, to be honest.
Nah, dude, you wanna make sure you do like what makes you happy, and you know it's good, it's healthy to have hobbies too, especially if you're like crushing it all the time. Like sometimes you do something to you know to unwind too. So
that's true, man. You never know. You might see me coming out of the Titantron one of these days once they get crowds back in attendance. You know. Heading down to the squared circle, hit a couple DDTs or suplexes, you know?
Yeah, I mean, dude, look at The Rock, right? Like, talk about idol who, like, really has, like, the mindset and, like, healthy habits. Like, that guy just, his routine is just, oh, my God.
100%. And you know the thing about The Rock? To this day, when he was, whether playing football at Miami, whether wrestling, acting, whatever he's done, he is always the hardest worker in the room. He doesn't give up, doesn't quit, will grind it out, do whatever needs to be done. And so that guy, his work ethic is just insane. Like I look at him and I wish my work ethic could be like that. I think maybe gradually I'll get there. I don't know. It might be too crazy, but like, yeah, that guy, he will bust his ass every single day to accomplish his goals.
Yeah, him and like Kevin Hart, I feel like also has like tremendous ethic. Like there's people that you just respect them so much because like they might not be the most talented people, but their work ethic, like they just create whatever they want, and there's no such thing as like giving up, you know? And
right.
So respectable.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. Everyone has talent. Talent will get you so far. It's great to have it. If you have it, but it's not going to get you all the way, man. You have to buckle up, you know, settle down and grind in. And I think it's the consistency, right? Like you said, it's not always the most talented people. I'm not a natural salesperson. I'm probably more introverted than I am extroverted. But, you know, I think if you strap in, you do everything you can. Like you just have to really want it. And you have to put in the effort. And that will get you to your goal, I think, almost every time, as opposed to just talent.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Chris. This has been an awesome podcast. I think there's so many takeaways, and having a strong routine, you know, keeping a good mindset. Like, I think because of your nutrition, your meditation, your wellness practices, and then also like the way, just your attitude, right? Like the way you approach like relationships, I think you know, clearly your work ethic is incredible. I think a lot of these, it's cool because a lot of what you're saying is like the fundamentals, right? But it's so strong to, once you have that strong foundation, that consistency, you know, everything else is gravy just because you have such a strong baseline that, you know, it's you hit your goals. So it's good. It's a good reminder, especially as we kind of are in this world that's a little bit different than what we're used to.
Well, no, thank you, Davidson. You know, it's an honor to be here. And nothing I said today is anything I invented or anything I can give myself credit for. It's taking the lessons of others, incorporating them into your life, see what works. If it doesn't, throw it out. If it keep it, if it does, keep it. But I'm just honored to be here today with the with you and the number one, what was the award? The number one, helped me out here. You exemplified the LinkedIn spirit and culture most out of anyone else in our training program.
I love it.
So I'm still trying to look. Club is great. I would rather have that award. I'm just still trying to get on your level, Davidson. Garrett, the thing is, I won't ever have another chance because we're never going to probably go for a training like that again. So I have to live with that the rest of my life.
Oh, God, you're hilarious, man. Hey, man, hopefully we'll celebrate P Club this year together. You know, it sounds like we're both in good standings for the year so far, so that's good.
Hey man, I'm gonna do everything in my power to be there. I know you'll be there, Davidson, and I know a bunch of other of our talented friends and colleagues will be there as well, but I got a place reserved for you in the seat next to me.
I love it. Yeah man, it's all about lifting others up and bringing them along the ride too, so I appreciate you, man.
Of course, anytime, my friend.
Well, that's it, folks. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Please subscribe and let me know what your thoughts are. If there were any takeaways, I welcome all positive and constructive feedback and hope you enjoy. Stay tuned for more interesting stories and guests. Take care.